Welcome to Animal Facts
and Animal Snacks.
That's Elise.
And that's Nicole.
And today we're going to talk about sloths.
So Nicole, tell everyone what we made today.
Okay, well, what we tried to make were little pretzel sloths. So they're really cute in the Pinterest picture that we saw. So basically we took little mini pretzels, we covered them in white chocolate, and then we drew little sloth faces on them with darker colored chocolate. Ours kind of look like sloths.
You just have to squint.
Yeah. But now that we told you what they were, when you see the picture, you'll probably see a resemblance of a sloth.
Yeah.
But I think if you just found them, you would have no idea what we made. Like,
what are these Martian pretzels?
But they're still chocolate-covered pretzels, so they're still tasty regardless of what they look like.
They are. Yeah. So try them at home. You'll see how difficult they are.
Yeah. Before you judge us, try them at home. Yes. Then you can judge us if yours looks better.
Yeah. If yours look amazing, please tell us how you did it.
I would love to hear your secret.
We had troubles.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. So let's get into sloths. Elise, why don't you tell us what a sloth is?
Okay. So a sloth is an animal that lives in the tropical rainforests of Central and South America. They are arboreal or tree-dwelling mammals, famous for their slow movement and low metabolism. And I know Nicole is going to talk a lot more about that later on. Sloths resemble monkeys, but they are actually more closely related to armadillos and anteaters. They're actually classified in the Latin order Pilosa, along with anteaters. And Pilosa mammals are living today only in the Americas. The name Pilosa actually comes from the Latin word for hairy, which makes sense. Anteaters and sloths both have very shaggy hair. The order Pilosa also includes extinct megafaunal ground sloths, which we think, based on the fossil record, grew up to the size of elephants, and extinct marine sloths. Both of these species have been extinct for 11,000 to 10,000 years due to human hunting of these species and climate change. And when they were living, both of these species lived in South as well as North America. Now, modern-day sloths are classified in the suborder Folivora, which means leaf eater, and Nicole's going to talk a lot more about the sloth's leaf-eating capabilities later on. And alive today are two main families of sloths. There are three extinct families, but there are two main families still living in the world today. The two families are two-toed sloths and three-toed sloths, which is kind of a misnomer. All sloths actually have three toes. The difference is in their forelimbs. So two-toed sloths actually have two fingers on their front limbs, whereas three-toed sloths have three fingers on their front limbs. So the two-toed sloth family contains two living species, Linnaeus's two-toed sloth and Hoffman's two-toed sloth, whereas the three-toed sloth family contains four living species, brown-throated sloths, pale-throated sloths, maned sloths, and pygmy three-toed sloths. So now that we know a little bit about what a sloth is, maybe Nicole, you want to tell us more about what specifically characterizes a sloth?
Yeah, for sure. So like Elise said, they spend most of their time in their trees. And because they spend so much time hanging upside down, their liver, stomach, and kidneys are anchored to their abdomen as to prevent the weight from compressing their diaphragm, which would make it hard to breathe as they hang upside down.
So cool.
Yeah, and the outer hairs of their fur grow in the opposite direction from that of other mammals. In most mammals, the hair will grow towards your extremities, but because sloths spend so much time upside down with their limbs above their bodies, their hair grows away from their extremities to provide protection from the elements while they hang upside down. Their limbs have been adapted for hanging and grasping. Their specialized hands and feet have long curved claws that allow them to hang upside down from branches without effort and are used to drag themselves around on the ground. On the three-toed sloths, the arms can even be 50% longer than the legs.
Wow.
And one of the only times that a sloth will even come down from the tree is to do their business. And sloths only urinate and defecate once a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And they do so in the same place every time, which makes them really vulnerable to eagles, snakes, jaguars, and other predators. And as you said, sloths are known for their slow movements, which is also how they got their name, because the term sloth refers to a reluctance of movement or laziness.
I read that sloths actually spend about 90% of their time motionless.
Wow.
So they're definitely reluctant to move.
Oh my gosh. A sloth's size will vary based on whether it has two toes or three toes. So the three-toed sloth will be about 23 inches and 8 to 9 pounds. A two-toed sloth will be 23 to 27 inches and anywhere from 17.5 to almost 19 pounds. Sloths can live up to 40 years, and despite their ancestors living in North America and South America, sloths today mainly live in Central and South America. Their claws are 3 to 4 inches long, which can be used for defense against predators. However, it's their very low movement and the camouflage that makes them difficult to notice. We'll get into that a little bit later. They are nocturnal animals, and they live very solo lives. The closest a sloth will get to being social is sleeping in the same tree as another sloth, except for during courting. So courting starts when a female yells a mating scream to the male in the area, letting her know she's ready to mate. The males will then fight for her by hanging from branches by their feet, pawing at each other. And then the victor wins, and that's the one who gets to mate with the female.
Wow.
I know. Sloths will mate and then give birth to one baby, and they will be pregnant for anywhere from 5 to 11.5 months, depending on the type of sloth. After they're born, they will ride around clinging to their mother's belly for several weeks, and they'll stay by their mother's side for up to 4 years, which is longer than a lot of other humans.
Absolutely.
I mean, animals. And humans, I guess. No, humans probably stay around for the longest.
I also found out that baby sloths learn what to eat by licking their mother's lips. Whoa. And learning which plants are edible and which plants aren't edible.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Aw. And also, sloths are surprisingly good swimmers. They perform a breaststroke similar to humans, and a lot of times they'll just drop down from the trees and right into the water, and they will use their extended arms to propel.
Up to 44 feet per minute, which is pretty fast for an animal that we consider to be slow.
Yeah, it's really fast. And another fun fact is they can slow their heart rate to almost one-third its normal pace, allowing them to breathe underwater for about 40 minutes.
Oh my gosh. I also read that they can float due to the gas buildup in their stomachs from fermenting leaves.
Wow.
So if you drop a sloth in the water, they actually are perfect at the dead man's float.
No, oh my god.
Required.
That's so cool. Another really kind of interesting fact is that the three-toed sloth can turn its neck almost 270 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like an owl.
It is like an owl. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
But of all of these characteristics and fun facts that we just talked about, I think that sloths are most known for being slow.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I think of when I think of sloth.
Yeah, well, they are the slowest animal on Earth.
Wow. So unless an animal is hibernating, a sloth is the slowest living animal.
Exactly. So they spend most of their time in the trees, and they'll trek no further than about 125 feet in a day. They can only climb about 8 feet per minute.
Wow.
And on the rare occasion where a sloth is on the ground, they will crawl at about 1 foot per minute.
Wow. That is so slow. That's like watching grass grow.
Seriously.
Bamboo grows faster than sloths walk.
No, you're probably right. But this lethargic nature is what allows them to make the most of their surroundings. So when hunger strikes, a sloth will simply reach to the nearest branch, pull it closer, and tear leaves off with their lips. There's really no need for them to move fast or move around often because they pretty much have a mini fridge next to them at all times.
That's a great analogy.
And sloths are herbivores, so they eat mostly leaves, but their diet could consist of fruit, flower buds, and branches.
I actually read that two-toed sloths have a more varied diet. They eat insects, carrion, fruit, reptiles, and then mainly leaves. And the three-toed sloths eat only leaves and have the slowest digestion of any mammal.
Yeah, well, they're not really getting many nutrients at all. They have a very low-fat, low-protein diet, and that's what makes them have such little energy.
That right? makes sense.
In addition to their slow movement, like you said, there are many other things that they, or many other ways that they have adapted to allow them to survive on such a low, lean diet. They sleep a lot. So sloths in the wild will sleep about 10 hours a day, and captive sloths can sleep about 18 or 16 hours a day.
Wow.
Probably because they have food available to them and they're bored. So being captive lets them sleep a little bit longer. They have a very slow metabolism. It takes the human body about a full day to digest a meal, and the sloth's digestive system spends about a month doing so.
Wow.
They have a four-part stomach that slowly digests leaves with bacteria. Their metabolic rate is about 40 to 45% slower than any other animal their size or mammal their size.
Wow, and that means I read that two-thirds of a sloth's body weight is actually its stomach contents. Since it takes so long to digest food, if you were to put a sloth on a scale, 2/3 of the weight you would get would just be the food that they're currently digesting.
That's crazy. They also have a low body temperature of about 86 to 93 degrees Fahrenheit. And they are heterothermic, which means they can switch between regulating their own body temperature and allowing their environment to regulate their body temperature. So sloths will move in and out of the shade to regulate their body temperature. And since sloths' bodies are only about 25% muscle, they can't shiver when they're cold to warm up. So thankfully, they live in a tropical climate and are covered in fur. But there are times when the forest will get cold, and if a female gets too cold, she's unable to digest her food. And if her young are still nursing, they may starve to death.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really sad.
That's terrible.
Sloths have about half the muscle mass as other animals their size. Muscle, like I said, only takes up about 25, maybe 30% of their total body weight, and I guess the rest of it is their stomach, as Elise said. Most other mammals have muscle mass that takes up about 40 to 45% of their total body weight. If you put a sloth on the ground, it's not even strong enough to walk on its hind legs, but it doesn't really need lower body strength because it lives in the trees.
Right. I bet if we tried hanging upside down for a very long time, we would not be able to do it.
So. I definitely couldn't.
Different skill set.
So a sloth's muscles are concentrated in the upper body and forelimbs. On the ground, sloths use their forelimbs to drag their body forward. But in the trees, they can easily pull themselves up, hang from branches for hours on end, and they can even retain their grip on a tree or branch after death.
Oh my gosh.
I know. They've also developed a symbiotic relationship with algae. So sloth's fur has a tinge of green, which is used for camouflage, and it helps them hide from predators. But this isn't pigment. It's actually algae. Sloths live in a naturally humid area, so algae can form on their fur very easily. When there are no more leaves nearby, sloths can just lick their fur and they get some extra nutrients from the algae.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned symbiosis. So let's talk about what symbiosis actually is for a minute. So symbiosis is the system of close interactions between two or more different species that live together. There are two different types of symbiosis, obligate and facultative. Obligate symbiosis is a type where the organisms can't survive without each other, so they're obligated to have the symbiotic relationship. Facultative symbiosis means that the species that live together are living together by choice. Now, there's four different ways that organisms can be symbiotic. So the first one is mutualism. In a mutualistic relationship, both organisms benefit. So positive, positive. And some examples of this are lichen, which is made up of algae and fungi. Pollination is a type of mutualism. Clownfish and sea anemones are mutualistic. The next type of symbiosis is commensalism, which means that one organism benefits and the other organism is not harmed or benefited. So a positive and a neutral. So an example of commensalism is barnacles and whales. The third type is parasitism, and most of us are familiar with this. That means that one organism benefits while harming the other organism. So positive-negative relationship. And examples of this include tapeworms or bacteria. And the final type of symbiosis is competition, which means that both organisms are hurting each other or harming each other in some way. So it's negative-negative. So an example of this would be coyotes and wolves competing for the same food sources. So based on what Nicole just said, the sloth-algae relationship is facultative mutualism. So both the sloth and the algae could survive without the other, but they're lives are made simpler and easier by living together, and it's a mutualistic relationship because both the sloth and the algae are benefiting from this relationship.
So, like Lee said, in this case, you know, the algae obtains shelter and a good supply of water in the sloth's fur, as the fur will absorb water extremely readily. And in addition, or in return, the algae will provide the camouflage and extra nutrients via diffusion and absorption through the skin and hair of the sloth. Right, so a sloth's hair is long and coarse, and depending on the species, can contain either a number of grooves or irregular transverse cracks that increase in number and size with the age of the animal. These features are ideal for inhabitation by a wide variety of organisms ranging from moths, beetles, cockroaches, and even algae.
Sloths actually have a symbiotic relationship with the sloth moths that live on their bodies due to this algae. So sloths, as Nicole mentioned, urinate and defecate once a week on a single tree in the same spot every single week. So this urine and feces acts as fertilizer for the tree, so it's actually benefiting the tree, and it's a home for these sloth moth eggs. Once the eggs hatch, the larvae feed on the feces and then fly up to the sloth. And then on the sloth, these larvae actually fertilize the algae that's growing on the sloth. So it's this very involved mutualistic relationship that extends even beyond the sloths and the algae.
Wow. And this algae is passed directly from the mother to the offspring, and young sloths gain the algae and other parasites by the time they are only a few weeks old.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually, we're benefiting sometimes from this algae or fungi or whatever's growing on the sloth's fur. So of the 74 fungi species collected from sloth's fur, 3 exhibited positive effects in battling human breast cancer strains.
Oh.
Yeah. 8 showed potential benefits in battling Chagas disease, and 2 conquered parasites that commonly cause malaria. So more research has to be done, but scientists are optimistic that these exciting discoveries could lead to major medical advancements in the future.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So just by studying sloths, we could actually make medical breakthroughs.
Yeah.
So that could be a mutualistic relationship. If sloth biology and research is benefiting humans, it would benefit us to protect sloths and conserve them. So the sloths win and we win.
For sure.
It's a really great relationship.
So speaking of us trying to protect the sloths, save the sloths, why don't you explain some of their threats and what we can do to help?
Okay. So currently, 4 of the 6 living species of sloth are least concerned, which means that their status is great. They're doing really well. The maned three-toed sloth is vulnerable, and the island-dwelling pygmy three-toed sloth is critically endangered. So that's the one we have to worry about. Now, sloths, as we spoke about, are found in Central and South America, including Brazil, Venezuela, the Guyanas, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Honduras, Panama, and Colombia, just to name a few. And sloths can comprise up to 70% of the biomass of arboreal mammals in these tropical rainforests. So overall, they're doing really well. The populations of sloths or the species of sloths that aren't doing as well are struggling because of poaching, because they're being caught in electrical lines, they're being illegally trafficked as pets. And this has become...
Another pet.
This has become a big issue lately because so many celebrities really like sloths. So there have been so many sloth videos on YouTube over the last couple of years, which is great. It's getting the word out about sloths, but it's also hurting sloth conservation because people see how cute they are and how fluffy they are, and they want a sloth as a pet. But sloths actually make very poor pets due to
They'd be so boring, first of all.
They would be. They
wouldn't do
very much.
Imagine playing fetch with a sloth.
Yeah,
jeez.
And their ecology is so specialized, you would not be able to feed them the specific types of leaves that they would get in a South American rainforest. So
yeah, you're not buying garden mix.
Right. No, definitely not. You're not feeding them like spinach and carrots and stuff. So it would be tough to keep a sloth as a pet. But beyond the pet trade, the most critical threat to sloth populations is actually deforestation. They live in the rainforest in South America. We've all heard about Amazon rainforest destruction. So this is hurting sloths as well. So right now, 1 to 2 acres of rainforest land are cleared every second.
What?
Every second, 1 to 2 acres of
land
disappear. Yeah, for plantations, for settlements, for roads. It doesn't matter what, they're disappearing.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, it's really, really scary. For example, Costa Rica only has 3.5% of its primary forest left. That's it, in the entire country of Costa Rica. So this is affecting sloths because sloths are very slow moving, right? They do not adapt quickly to rapid environmental change. But luckily, there are a couple of different organizations that are helping. So there's a group called the Sloth Conservation Foundation that's helping via education outreach. So they're educating local communities about forest preservation and about sloths. And they're also fostering connectivity between fragmented forest sections. So they're trying to get local people to create corridors between these fragmented forest sections to try and provide larger habitat for a lot of the animals that depend on these forest sections. One of the cool ideas that's being used to connect these fragmented forest sections are canopy bridges. These canopy bridges are literally rope bridges from the canopies of one rainforest section to another rainforest section. So well above power lines or roads or bridges or people or villages. And these rope bridges act as corridors between these fragmented habitats. And the coolest part about these canopy bridges is that kids are building them.
Oh my God, specifically for the sloths?
Specifically, it started out specifically for titi monkeys, which are endangered.
Oh.
But then these kids formed this organization called Kids Saving the Rainforest. They installed 130 bridges in Costa Rica in 2000, and they've been studying whether or not the bridges are being used since the year 2000. Not only are titi monkeys using these bridges, but every other arboreal species is using these bridges,
oh,
including sloths. There are actually a lot of pictures.
How cute that would be.
Yeah, of sloths climbing on these rope bridges between forest corridors.
I love it.
So there is hope. There are ways you can help. There are organizations that you can support to try and save the sloths. And along those lines, if this podcast wasn't enough information for you today, or if you're really interested in supporting one of these organizations, there's some further reading that you can do. There's an article called Kids Saving the Rainforest that appeared in National Geographic for Kids in November and December of 2002. There's also an article called Rainforest Hero that appeared in Appleseeds magazine in September of 2005. Both of those articles are by Patricia Newman, who, sidebar, is my mom.
Yay!
So she wrote articles about these kids building canopy bridges for sloths and titi monkeys, if you want more information about the kids who are actually doing these projects. And then if you want more information about sloths in general, there's this amazing, absolutely gorgeous coffee table book, but also very informative book out called Sloths, Life in the Slow Lane. And it's by Dr. Rebecca Cliff, and the photos are by renowned wildlife photographer Susie Esterhaus. And there's over 144 pages of sloth pictures and information in this book. It's gorgeous. And if you buy this book, a portion of all proceeds go to the Sloth Conservation Foundation. So you could actually support sloths just by getting more information about them.
Yeah, that's great. And looking at really cute pictures.
And
of
looking
them.
At really cute, yeah, pictures. There's even swimming pictures.
Oh, man.
It's really cute.
So cute.
Yeah. So I think that's all the information we have for you guys on sloths today.
I think so, too. Also, wanted to give a shout-out to one of our listeners who requested sloths, my cousin Kelsey. So hopefully you listened and you enjoyed and you learned.
And ditto, shout-out to Sarah Mooney, who also requested a sloth episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, so hope you guys all loved it, and definitely keep the requests coming. If you want to learn more about a specific animal, we would love to teach you about it.
Yes, please, please request your favorite animals from us.
And we will post our sources, as always, on our Facebook page so that you guys can read further into the articles that we read.
Yep, and we will keep eating our chocolate-covered pretzel sloths.
Yes, and definitely try them at home. I would love to see your attempts as well.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.